Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. Today we're in the Gospel according to John, and we're beginning at chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Again, the miracles, verifying that this is a message that those that believe, those that are faithful, whatever remnant is in Israel at this time, need to pay attention to get their attention. Jesus answered, said to him, Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say to you, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And John carries on his theme here about being born in the Spirit. And anyone who's born of the Spirit, I call them spiritual Israel. Those that have the circumcision, that is that of the heart and not of the flesh, yes, they would be born of the Spirit. John clarifies through recording Jesus' words here that you can't tell by looking at someone if they're born again. He says you can hear the sound of it, but you can't tell by looking. It's like the wind, you know, you can't see when it's coming and when it's going, but you can only see the effect of it. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? You know, I can see Nicodemus kind of scratching his head. He's never heard anything like this. You know, I mean, this is the gospel message which we all understand today that are born of the Spirit. We've studied the... But Nicodemus, there's nothing like this written in the Old Testament. You can read the whole thing, but you see that the things that Jesus is saying, those things are veiled. They are not explicitly expressed in the Old Testament, but they are there and they are veiled. These things were revealed by Jesus. And he's, you know, this is a learned man. This is a man of the Pharisees. So Nicodemus says, How can these things be? And Jesus said to him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily I say to you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things, and he's saying these are earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So being born again, an earthly thing, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And no man, he continues speaking to Nicodemus here, the words of Jesus recorded by John at verse 13, And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Aha! How can these things be? You know, understand, how can these things be? I could imagine the confusion of these words. This doesn't make any sense. It was kind of like, I remember when I was started reading the Proverbs, because I thought, well, this book says that if I read it, this is words for the wise, and, you know, I wanted to be wise, but I was going, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. And that's kind of what Nicodemus was doing. He's going, How can these things be? These words don't even make sense. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So he ascended up, he came down, and he is in heaven. How can these things be? Well, I understand now that I've been born again, that I've received the power to become a son of God. I understand these things because Paul expressed it this way, that I sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I live and move and have my being in Him. And if he ascended up and he came down and he is in heaven, well, then we understand how he could say, before Abraham was, I am. How he could be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How he could appear in the garden as the high priest to Adam and Eve. Because he is the only one who qualified to be the high priest for Adam and Eve. And he clothed them. He made the first sacrifice. And he clothed them with the skins. No one else could qualify to be that high priest in the garden. So he was pre-incarnate. He appeared pre-incarnate when he said, before Abraham was, I am. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. These are mysteries that unbelievers and, you know, can't comprehend. And they're just a lot of nonsense. How could you believe that? And go to the virgin birth. Oh my goodness, you know, we believe in evolution. We don't believe in the miraculous. So how can these things be? Jesus continues, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It was already written. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So what does it mean to believe? I mean, I want to be one of these, and I want to make sure that I'm one of these. Whosoever that believeth. That whosoever believeth, I want to be a whosoever that believeth. And I am. I have that assurance because I want to understand. And if you seek, you will find. God will not withhold His truth from those that diligently seek Him. He says, will He give, if a father asks his son, I mean, if a son asks his father for bread, will He give him a stone? How much more the Father is in heaven will give good gifts to his children. So, whosoever believeth, we want to make sure that we are one of those whosoever that believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So I have eternal life, even though I have the down payment of it, because I'm sitting here in mortal flesh, sitting here that in flesh that I know is destined for the grave, that is perishing already. But I know that because of the blood of Jesus that I will rise from the dead. So I have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the famous verse, John 3:16. Very famous. But we have to decide, we have to understand what it means to believe here in the context of what we're reading. This verse is not the gospel all by itself, but it is part of the gospel. It is a capsule of the gospel. Okay? But it is not the whole gospel. It comes with all of these other words. See, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So what do we understand? He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So we understand, before Jesus comes, the whole world is condemned. Anyone who doesn't believe is condemned already. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Do you worship the Creator or the creation? What is your heart after? Is there anything that is between you and Him that you love more than Him? Okay? That men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Oh, you know, that condemns all of us, doesn't it? Yeah, but we've all done evil. But everyone that doeth evil, okay? Everyone that practices evil. Yeah, we all do evil. We've all done evil. But do we practice evil? Okay? Or are we practicing crucifying the deeds of the flesh? Are we practicing true repentance from evil? Putting off those things? Are we being perfected? That's the question, and that's what it means to believe, that we allow the work of repentance to work in our life. So everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. So if you do evil, that means you don't come to the light. If you're coming to the light and you continue to come to the light, that means that you're not a doer of evil. It doesn't mean that evil doesn't exist in you, because it will as long as you're in this mortal flesh. But you have grace. You have a lifetime in this mortal flesh to decide and to work and to be perfected. It says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So we who believe, we come to the light that our deeds may be reproved. We want our deeds to be reproved. But he that doeth truth doeth truth. Okay, I want to be one of those that doeth truth. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, repentance is that work that brings our evil to light and allows the light to fill that darkness, that void. Because actually, darkness is, there's no such thing as darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is not a thing. It has no substance. It's like evil. You know, evil is manifest in the flesh, in the deeds that we do. That's why evil exists. That's why there is suffering in the world, that evil may be made manifest. But evil is the absence of God. It's the absence of good. It's what happens when there is no good. It's like darkness, that which has no substance, is actually the absence of light. But it does exist. It's there. It's darkness is nothing. It's the absence of light. So we come to the light that our deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And that means that we go from doing evil to doing good, that our deeds may be manifest. We do the will of God, that our deeds are wrought in God. We get up and we serve Him every day in everything we do. He is first in our life. Continuing, John 3:22. After these things came Jesus and His disciples into the land of Judea. And there He tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Ainon, near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews. Okay, lost my place there when I did that. Oh, and then there arose, verse 25, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men are coming to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given from above, from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he must testify. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son. And what John is saying here, John the Baptist saying, that I have received a measure of the Spirit. But Jesus, there is no measure. Okay? He says, for whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Very strong words by John the Baptist, testifying of the Messiah of Jesus. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the ground, to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, of course, the Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans because, well, you know, they were perhaps half-breeds, or they were altogether, you know, Gentiles of another nation. So the woman was surprised when Jesus even spoke to her and did not look down upon her. Okay, so the woman says to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? I can't even imagine what this woman is thinking, that Jesus is talking about living water. And she's looking at the well, and he's got nothing to draw with, and she's kind of like Nicodemus, you know, hearing words that make no sense to her. But something draws her to this man, and this man is speaking like, you know, he's totally sane and knows what he's talking about. Very convincing, even though it doesn't seem to make much sense. He says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well? And drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle. And Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Yeah. Spring up, O well, within my soul. And we have the song that we sing that sprang up from this verse here. And we should have, all should have this living water in us. And a lot of times, you know, we feel depleted and worn down in our flesh. But no matter how bad things might be, no matter how much we're persecuted and driven down and wearied by the world or whatever things we're dealing with in our life, we always have this well of living water to draw on. And sometimes it's all we have to draw on. So it, you know, it gives us a joy that perhaps can't even be expressed with a smile. A joy that only comes by faith. You know, we don't act like idiots, you know, and we're suffering. But we have something that sustains us. And this is what Jesus is talking to this woman about. Something she can't understand. Something she never, you know, but there's something in her that's drawing her to this. And there's something in all of us that knows there has to be more than the hopelessness that that we all experience at times. And when we live in Christ and we move and we have our being in Him, we have this well to draw on when things seem hopeless. And it's a well, like I said, you know, perhaps it can put a smile on us, maybe only spiritually. Maybe while we grimace with pain, you know, depending on what we're going through or what we have to endure in this life, because we know that it is an everlasting well. We know that anything that we have to suffer in this life, anything we have to endure, keeping our eye on the prize, that it's only temporary, that it is as temporary as this mortal flesh. Because in this mortal flesh, we suffer the consequences of evil. And perhaps we don't even suffer the consequences of our own evil. Perhaps we suffer the consequences of the evil of others, the consequences of sin. You know, why is there suffering in the world? Why do the innocent suffer? Because evil must be judged in the flesh. Because a spiritual evil, how do we quantify it? How do we say that's evil? Unless we see a result, unless we see what the result of evil is. And we can't see it spiritually, but we can see it in the flesh. And there it must be judged. And so we understand that, you know, like David, he suffered for the evil that he did. But how did that evil come about? You know, a lot of people would judge me because, say, I have a retarded son. And they would say, well, you know, there is no help for him in God. Look, that's the God, the judgment of God upon him. Well, yes, you know, it is the judgment of God in the flesh. But is it because I sin? Perhaps. Or is it because we're all under judgment, that we all have to suffer and endure things? But we have a well within us, a spiritual well, springing up into everlasting life, something that we can refresh our souls, that we never despair to perdition or taking our own life. And that's a whole other topic when we talk about suicide. It's a whole other topic. Did Jesus commit suicide? Well, in a way he did, you know. But it wasn't despair that he willingly gave up his life for another. So, and greater love has no man than that he lay down his life for his friends. So we have a precedent there for suicidal behavior that is a godly behavior, but not in despair and not to murder, because suicide can also be self-murder. But if you lay down your life for others, well, then it's not murder. It's what it is. It's a sacrifice. So let our lives, let us be living sacrifices, and let us make sure that if death is brought about by our own actions, let it be because it is a action of sacrifice. Okay, well, we've come to the end of the broadcast, and we're going to pick up here in verse 15 of John chapter 4 next time. So make sure you come back for that. You're listening to Across the Border. Please visit my website, crosstheborder.org.